Okay, so we're Shoftim, Perek Yirah Aleph, chapter 11. We reached a little further than where we're going to start from today. I believe we got to Pasuk Chaf Ches. I want to just backtrack a tiny bit to Pasuk Chaf Dalad, verse 24. Where
in the previous chapter?
No, still in chapter 11.
Oh, chapter 11, verse 24.
So, what we learned about last week, what we were reading yesterday, Haftorah, is that the king of Ammon has challenged. He's come to take back, or to take, I should say, the land on the other side of the Yarden, and Yiftach has been appointed to lead B'nai Yisrael in defending it, and Yiftach exchanges a number of messages with the king of Ammon, and basically the king of Ammon says that you've taken our land, and I'm sorry, I keep saying Ammon. The king of Ammon. And the king of Ammon keeps saying, you took our land, and that's why we're taking it back. And Yiftach basically gives him a history lesson of how actually, really, Sichon, the king of Amori, took this land from you, and we took it from him, and therefore we have every right to it. It's true, we weren't allowed to attack Ammon and Moab, that Hashem didn't allow us, but we are allowed to attack the Amori, and therefore we have a legitimate claim to this land that we've conquered. And in Pasuk Chaf Dalet, he says, "Halo Eis Asher Yorishcha Kimosh Elohecha Oso Sirach." That which Kimosh, your God, gives you as an inheritance, that which He gives to you, so that you'll inherit. Ve'eskla Asher Horish Hashem Elokeinu Miponeinu Oso Nirach. But that which Hashem provides for us as an inheritance, so that we'll get. Basically challenging him, you have your God, we have our God. What your God gives you will be yours, and what our God gives us will be ours. And right now, our God is giving us this land, so it's ours, and we're not handing it back so easily. Now, the Rabbag here comments that he was teasing him. You know, it's an Avodah Zarah. Kimosh is the name of the Avodah Zarah. He was saying, you know, if your God will give you anything, as if like, but obviously it's an Avodah Zarah. He's not going to. He's messing with him. He's teasing him that you're davening to an empty a force that has no power whatsoever. However, the Avas Yonasan, the only thing I've said, takes a little bit of a different approach. And really, before I present that, I just want to introduce it with the following piece in Emes LeYaakov. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in Parshas Va'eschanan, he's discussing the pasuk that where Hashem says, where Moshe says to the people, "V'ra'itas Hashemesh v'tayoreach," and you'll see the sun and the moon, "Asher chalak Hashem elokecha osam l'chol ha'amim tachas kol ha'shamayim," that Hashem has chalak, has divided them up to the nations. Hashem has given these the sun, the moon, to the nation. So the Mefarshim there take two approaches as to what Hashem chalak, what did He divide them, what did He give to these nations. So some of them just understand it, that He gave them the sun and the moon to provide light. That's what He means. The sun, you know, don't worship the sun and the moon, which I have given to the nation. I've given them to them to provide light, and we're commanded. Right, okay. Okay. But they're commanded not to bow down to them. Because that could easily happen, you know, and did, according to those who approach it this way, that they took something that had no power and worshipped it. And Hashem's saying, you know, these celestial beings, these stars, don't worship them. And he's saying that they have no power. The Ramban, though, says that no, every nation has its own kochav and mazel, some sort of star or being that's a star of some sort of officer, some sort of force that's been appointed, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has appointed over that nation, and they are mashpia on that nation, they affect that nation, and that's the command that Hashem is giving, is even though I've appointed forces to oversee each nation, but don't worship those forces, rather understand that I, as the appointee, I am Elokecha, I am the Elokecha usually means, since, right, we know the word Elohim or Elohim can also refer to other gods, but when we use that word to refer to Hashem, we mean like the God of all forces in the world, the source of all those forces. And that's the command that even though, the Ramban says, even though Hashem has created these forces for the nations, these powers, and there is a power in charge of each nation, but you are commanded, and so are the nations, not to worship those forces directly, but rather to understand that I am the Shoresh, I'm the root of those powers, and therefore you should only serve me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And, yeah. I don't know. I don't know enough to distinguish. I'm not sure. I use the word star. He doesn't use the word star. Star may be something else. I don't know. It may be the same thing. So he says, right, that's this pasuk, Asher Chalak Hashem Elokecha Osam. So again, some understand it just means Hashem provided them to the nations to give light, but the Ramban understands, no, Hashem provided them to the nations as their, to oversee them, and to be mashpia on them. And either way, though, Hashem commands us and them not to serve them. Now, Rabbi Yaakov then continues, and he quotes our pasuk, and he says that here, Yiftach challenges the Melech Amon, the king of Amon, and he says, that which Kemosh, your God, will provide for you, that's what you'll have. So, and he says, the Ralbag, as I mentioned, understands it to be that it's Derech Lag, he's mocking him, and that would be like the approach, which really is the Rambam's approach, that Avodah Zarah has no power, there are no forces that Hashem, that Hashem didn't actually give any power to those things that people worship as Avodah Zarah. But according to the Ramban's approach, he's actually telling him, you know, you have an Avodah Zarah, you have someone that Hashem has given power over to, this kochav that rules over you, Kemosh, and it does have power. You're not supposed to worship it, but that's why they do, because it does have some power. Again, it doesn't have more. It can't go against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu has handed over some kind of control and power to it. And they are worshiping, the Ramban saying, they're not worshiping, dust and emptiness. They're actually worshiping something. Now, it only has power because Hashem gave it power, but they are worshiping something that has power. And that their Avodah Zarah does actually do something.
The Rambam says that they simply don't have any independent power of any kind, or that Hashem is not actually causing them to even appear.
I think the discussion is more by Avodah Zarah. That's where the Rambam talks about it and understands that it's empty. There's no point to it. It doesn't do anything when they serve Avodah Zarah. And the Ramban says it does.
Because I know there's a lot of discussion that Hashem was causing there to be at least an appearance, you know, power for idol worship and sorcery, simply because in a time of, you know, performing open miracles, it would be painfully obvious to the world, and it would basically remove the entire notion of free will.
Right.
But so now when he's not doing that, there's no longer any need for by, you know, the, everything is very plainly false.
Right. Yeah, so I'm not sure. He doesn't even quote the Rambam's words. He just says the Rambam's opinion is that avodah zarah ain b'mamish, there's nothing to it. And but the Ramban holds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the nature of the world that they have the ability to, every nation has something being mashpia on it, and that's what they are worshipping. Okay, it could be. I'm looking now if he says. Oh, no, he says, Vadai, if they do serve the Avodah Zarah, it's mashpia, and it has an effect, and it has an ability to have an effect. So that's what Yaakov writes. So in our pasuk, according to that view, so we would understand that he's not really mocking him. He's saying, you have an Avodah Zarah, you serve him all the time. Apparently, you know, he is not coming through for you, but he has the ability to, or again, not against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, and that may be the point that he's making, that, you know, your Avodah Zarah, Kemosh, has, it can do so much for you, but obviously, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that you're not going to have this land, then you're not going to have this land. So I'm not sure. There's probably different types, I guess. Okay. So moving right along. So then we saw these spoken last week. He tells him, Chafei, the Ata now Hatov Tov Ata Mibalak Ben Tipor Melech Moab. Are you any better than Balak, the king of Tipor, the king of Moab? Harov Rav and Yisrael, did he fight with Yisrael in Milcham Nilchambam? Did he battle against them? Meaning, once we conquered this land, nobody tried to take it back from us, not even Balak. The Sheves Yisrael B'Cheshbon, when Bnei Yisrael sat, dwelled in Cheshbon, or did no sell, and in its suburbs, the Arar Bivnosel, and in the southern city, Arar, and the those are built around it. And all the cities near the Arnon River, we've been here for 300 years. Why didn't you try to save it? Why didn't you try to take it from us during the last 300 years? This is not your land anymore. Now this is ours. I haven't sinned against you. The Ata Osa Iti Rali Lachambi, and you, Amon, are doing a evil to fight against me. Yishbot Hashem Ashofet Hayom Bein Bnei Yisrael Bein Bnei Amon. Hashem, the judge, should judge between us. Malbim speaks out. He was telling him that now that you don't have any, as I've told you, as I've informed you, you have no right to this land, so there's no reason why you should be fighting against us. Unless somebody, you know, did something wrong to you, and that's why he said, I didn't do anything wrong to you, there's no reason why you should be fighting against us. And the king of Ammon did not listen to the words of Yiftach, Asher Shalach Elov, that he sent to him. Okay. Vatiyal Yiftach Ruach Hashem. And a spirit of Hashem passed over Yiftach. Vayavor Etzak Yilad Ves Menashe. And he passed over Gilad and Menashe, meaning he circumvented in traveling. Vayavaret Mitzbe Gilad, and he passed displaced Mitzvah Gilad, from Mitzvah Gilad Avar B'nai Amon, and by going that way, he passed the B'nai Amon, meaning he decided the B'nai Amon had come into the land of Gilad to conquer it. They had their armies, I guess, on the borders. He went around them to the Ammonite cities to attack the unprotected Ammonite cities, and it would force the army to come rushing back. And now we have the introduction to the story of Yiftach's daughter. Vayidar Yiftach neder laHashem vayomar. And Yiftach took a neder to Hashem, and he said, Im nason titein es b'nei Amon v'yadi, if you give the B'nai Amon into my hand, the Haya Hayotse Asher Yetse Midalse Vesi Likrasi, and it will be the one who comes out from the doors of my house to greet me, Vishuvi Vishalom B'nai Amon, when I return in peace from fighting the B'nai Amon, the Haya LaHashem, it will be for Hashem, the Halisiyu Ola, and I will bring it as a carbon ola. And he said this before he went into battle with the B'nai Amon, and that if he would be successful, he would, whoever, the first thing to come out of his house, he would bring the Hayal Hashem, he says it will be for Hashem, how he see ola, and he'll bring it as an ola. Now we're going to see that the Mefarshim of Pshat, of the simple understanding of the Pasuk, take a very different approach, much more mild approach, than the approach of Chazal to this story. And they all quote Chazal, they always say this, but Chazal say this, and they kind of mention both stuffing. So, what? Right, what's going to come out of the house? I don't know. I'm not sure. We're going to see, hopefully, you know, there's a lot to talk about in this story. A lot of Midrashim, a lot of Mefarshim. So hopefully we'll get a sense of what's going on here. Now, just in the, again, I'm going to start with the Pashut Pshat, that of the Mefarshim. So, I mean, I don't know if this is more Pashut, more straightforward than what Chazal say, but they want to break up this Pasuk and say that he was saying two things, either the Hayel Hashem or the Halisiyu Ola. Either it will be for Hashem or I'll bring it as an Ola. Meaning, if it's not something that I could bring as a carbon, so then the Hayel Hashem, then it will be for Hashem, meaning it will serve Hashem for or she or him, or if it's a person, then v'hayol Hashem, I'll dedicate this person to Hashem, just as Hannah did with her son Shmuel, somewhat similar to Shimshon, which is going to be what we're going to start next Elul, hopefully. We'll be starting with Shimshon. Well, what did he do? That's what you thought. So you find that for me in the Pasuk that it says that. So we'll get there. So the Mefarshim say, the Tzavid, the Malbim, that he was saying, if it's ra'oi for a carbon, then I'll bring it as an ola. If it's fit to be brought as a carbon, it's an animal that's kosher for a carbon, then I'll bring it as an ola. And if it's not something that I could bring as a carbon, the Hayal Hashem will be for Hashem. I'll dedicate it in some way to the service of Hashem, but not as a carbon. It's not an opinion. You'll see the pasuk doesn't. The simple approach to the pasuk is that he didn't shechter. It says he went off to the mountains. It doesn't say anything about shechter.
What I don't understand.
Yes.
What I don't understand is what makes this vow different from what, from what I understand, it wasn't incredibly uncommon for people to do when they might dedicate random people to the temple. What they meant was that I dedicate the value of this person.
Erech Yolai, this person's value. Okay, so it's very interesting that you bring that up, because much of the discussion about this, the Medrash, Medrash Tanchuma, the Ramban, which we're going to learn, are all in Parshas B'chukosai, in the Parsha of Erechin, relating it to that Parsha about saying, you know, this person's value I will dedicate to the Beis HaMikdash. So it's going to tie in. But simply, just on a simple level, that's not what he meant here. He meant, I'll bring it as an olah. Usually, erechin is just a, you dedicate money for hektish, you're going to make a donation, basically. And that's a way to, you know, you, when you get your aliyah, instead of saying, I'll give high dollar, so you say, I'll give, you know, the erech of that person, you know.
Well, you have to verbalize that.
Right. Here, he's like, I'll bring it as an olah, I'll bring it as a karban. That's not erechin. But it's interesting that you bring that up, because that's where a lot of the discussion is. The Ralbag also goes along these lines. The Ralbag says, if it was a man who came out, so then he wouldn't even need to separate this man from his wife, as in he would be able to get married, because the man would have other specific ways of Avodas Hashem. He could somehow, again, he's not a Kohen or a Levi, so I'm not sure exactly what he would do, but men have more options, I guess, in terms of mitzvah that they have, and he would dedicate him towards specific mitzvahs, and then he would even be able to get married if he wanted to. But if it would be a woman, a girl, so then, if she would have a husband, she couldn't really be dedicated to Avodas Hashem, because she wouldn't be able to be completely dedicated, because she has to serve her husband, and therefore, we're going to see, on a Pashut level, what happens is when his daughter comes out, that what she ends up doing is being secluded in the mountains and never marrying, and that's, on a Pashut level, what happens to her. So let's see the Pesukim.
Who else was in the house?
It's a good question. That I don't think we're going to see. But that's a good point. That's another shot, maybe. We're going to spend some time discussing the Gemara that says that there were a few people who asked Shalom Kahogan, they asked an improper question, but still got a good answer. Like Eliezer, he said, you know, whichever girl will do this and this, then we'll marry Yitzchak. And it could have been, you know, the worst shidduch in the world, but you got Rivka. The Gemara goes through a couple of cases like that. But it says Yitzchak asked improperly and got answered improperly. The first one, I know why he was different. Why didn't he get, you know, why didn't a proper animal come out? So you have an answer. You have an answer because he didn't ask a good question. There was no way that an animal was going to come out of his house. He shouldn't have asked that it should come out of his house.
Why not? People used to live with their animals in their homes.
Oh, so Mr. Sapper has an answer for you. Says it wasn't uncommon for them to live.
What's the exact translation of
the only story I know that is that children's story about the guy whose house is too small, so the rabbi tells him, bringing all your animals.
Read the
pasuk
again.
Lamed Aleph. The Haya Hayotze Asher Yetze Midalse Veitnu Ikraski, and it will be the one who comes out. I don't know why he repeats it.
That's implying that in there.
No.
As they translated,
it's nothing. There's no implication of what's coming out. Hayotze, the one that comes out. It doesn't have to be a person. Anything could be a yotze.
Whatever emerges.
Yeah, whatever emerges. Okay, let's at least.
Rotten son.
Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayavar Yiftach al Bnei Amon lo hilochem bam, and Yiftach passed to the Bnei Amon to do battle with them. Vayitnei Hashem biyado, and Hashem handed them into his hand. Vayake me aroer, and he struck them from aroer, v'ad boach haminis, to this other place, boach haminis, estrim ir, 20 cities, v'ad ovel kramim, this other place, maka gedolah me'od, a great maka, he struck them very hard, vayikana b'nei amon, b'nei b'nei yisrael, and b'nei amon was subjugated by the Bnei Yisrael. So he's victorious. Okay. Now he comes home. Vayavo Yiftach HaMitzvah El Beso, and Yiftach came to Mitzvah, to his house. Hine Vito Yotze Slikraso, and behold, his daughter is coming out to greet him. V'supim uv'mcholos, with cymbals, I think, and the cholos, some other kind of instrument. The Rakhi Yechida, and she is alone. Ein lo mimenu bein ovas, He has, besides for her, he has no son or daughter. This is his one daughter. And that's, I think, the Pashup shot. Some of Farshim are Medayik. They infer that he had other, that his wife had other children. So where are they being Medayik this from? What is this? Is this David? He's trying, he has a deer care. Ain lo mi mano, they make a deal. He had no other children of his own besides for her, but he was watching other children that his wife had from a previous marriage. That's how some explain this pasuk. Others understand that the mimenu is actually his daughter had no children. Ain lo mi mano bengal bas, he didn't have a son or daughter from his daughter, meaning he had no grandchildren. She had not yet married. And that's, I think, more significant to this story, that this is the Radak based on the Targum here, that she wasn't married yet even. And what happened? Vayichir oso osa, and it was when he saw her. Vayikras bigadav, and he tore his clothing. Vayomer, and he said, aha, biti. Aha is like he cried out. Hachreyachratini ve'at hayis be'ochray. I have bent, I have subjugated myself, and you were be'ochray. So the Mefarshim, this is actually a pretty hard pasuk to read. Actually, maybe if you don't mind just reading what Archil translates, and then I'll.
Thirty-five, right? When he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me to my knees, and you have joined those who trouble me. I have opened my mouth to Hashem, and I cannot recant."
Okay, thank you. So, okay, we'll have to see.
And why couldn't he recant?
That's another good question. These are all good questions. So that's, I guess, the simple understanding. Hachreya hisratini. I've bent. I'm on my knees. Now you've joined those who are against me. And I've opened my mouth to Hashem, and I can't take it back. The Malbim here had an interesting approach. He says that. That Yiftach wanted to take back his neder. He wanted to ask a shot, right? A neder, when you take a vow, so there are ways to have it nullified. You can ask, you could, through harata, what's harata? Yeah, hataras nadarim, but you need either to be misharate, to... What? No, you can't do it by myself. That's going to be part of the story. My English is flipping me. What's the English word for harata?
Regret,
thank you. So you can either regret taking it, or sometimes in certain situations you need to actually, you need a heter. If I would have known this, then I wouldn't have taken it. There has to be a pesach. There has to be an opening, a reason why you take it back. But the Malbim learns, very interestingly, that he wanted to regret it and to ask on it, because he held that he did have a good reason to take it back, and that's what he was saying. He was asking, Hachreya Hifratini, her. He was saying to her. He wasn't asking on the nether at this point. He was just saying to her that he reads it, would I want this to happen? Would I want, I guess, to be bent down, or Ata Yisab Ochrai, that you would be, you know, among my enemies now, or, you know, something that gives me trouble. Would I want that? How could I do this? And he was asking, and I would want to take it back. And just trying to figure out how he reads this thing. He reads the Anochi Patisi Pia Hashem. Oh, the Lo Ucha Lashuv. Right, I've opened my mouth to Hashem and I can't take it back. He was saying I could take it back. That's how the Malbim learns this pasuk. I've opened my mouth to Hashem and I can't take it back. It's a nether. And Nedarim, we know, there's ways out of them. With a Pesach or a Charata. And it's not like if you promise something to a person where you have to keep the promise because there's no way to take it back. A nether to Hashem, there's a system for this, and you're allowed to take it back with the right, if you go to a chacham, and you have it nullified, so, or matir. He's telling this to her. I mean, he's upset, I guess, still by this, but he's saying, would I want this to happen? No, but it's a nether, and I could take it back. And maybe at first he was upset, and then he realized. Yeah, it's a good question.
This is what happens if you don't study. This is what happens if you don't study Torah assiduously. He was an ignoramus.
Yeah, so that we're going to see also.
About women, whether women should study because they have to know the kids first.
I know there was some case where someone with an authority made a matter. I don't know if this is it or not, but there's that ultimately they did go. I don't know if there's an obvious from the Raza, but he said, I can't annul thou because he doesn't see me as an authority.
So we're not going to have exactly that. That's not this story, but we'll get to all the nitty-gritty details hopefully. There's a lot of excitement in the story. But now we're just trying to do the pashut, simple reading of the psukim. Batomer Elov, and she said to him, Avi, my father, Patisa es picha el Hashem. You've opened your mouth to Hashem. Asewi kasher yatsa mi picha. Do to me as you have said you will do. And the Malbim, going with the Malbim's approach, he wanted to find a hetzer for his nether, and she said, no, you can't take back this nether. Again, maybe from her ignorance, she thought that this type of nether you can't take back. And we'll see, maybe this will tie into Ramban when we talk about the Ramban. But she said you can't take it back. And אחרי אשר עשה לך השם נקמות מלבך ומבני עמם, since Hashem had took revenge on your enemies from the Bnei Amon, he fulfilled what you wanted, so you can't take back your nether. Now this is going to be, this approach of the Malbim's reading is really totally the opposite of Chazal, because Chazal say that she wanted him to get a hetzer, he wouldn't, so she went to try to get a hetzer for the nether. She went herself, as we'll see. Vatomer alavia, and she said to her father, Ye osali adavar azeh, do to me this thing, but harpe mi mani shayim chadashim, just leave me for 2 months, be soft on me for 2 months. The ilcha, and I'll go, the arati ala harim, and I'll go down to the mountains. In a simple understanding, they lived on the highest mountain, and she said, I'll go down to the lower mountains. The efkal besuai, anochi vireosai, and I will cry over my virginity, over that I'm never going to marry me and my friends. And again, on a simple level, it's because what's going to happen to her is she's going to have to go into seclusion to be just, a parosh, just on her own, serving Hashem, whatever she would be doing, davening, I'm not sure, but she would be alone, and she wants some time with her friends before that time. Rashi just learns the Arati Elaharim is like an expression of crying out, and I'll go and I'll descend to the mountains, like, somehow that means like I'll go and I'll cry. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what she would be doing besides her davening, but that's what seems to have happened. Vayomer, and he said, Lechi, go. Vayishlach Osa Shnei Chadashim, and he sent her for 2 months. Vatela Chidre Yosel, and she and her friends went. Vatevka Besula Laharim, and they cried over her virginity, on that she wouldn't be able to marry. They cried on the mountain. And it was after 2 months, and she returned to her father. And this is the pasuk where it describes what happened to her. And he did to her the neder that he had sworn to do. And she never knew a man. And she became, and there, or, and it was a lying Israel. What was the lying Israel? The next pasuk, that miyamim yamima, that every, I think it means 4 times a year, teilachna benos Yisrael, the daughters of Israel would go with sanos levasif tachad yiladi, to either, if we're assuming that she's still alive and she's just in seclusion, this could mean to cry with her, or others say it means to try to help diminish her pain and her sadness, to be misamech her, to bring joy to her. Oh, sorry, it says 4 days. Arba'as to Bas Yiftach HaGiladi, to the daughter of Yiftach HaGiladi, Arba'as Yonim Bashana, 4 days out of the year. There would be the pilgrimage that the girls would go into the mountain either to visit her, if she was there, or if we understand that she was indeed shechted, then it was just some sort of pilgrimage, I'm not sure why, to mourn her and remember her. Not Chayrim. I mean, unless you understand Chayrim to be hektish, which sometimes means, but it doesn't mean that she did something wrong and wasn't Chayrim. She was a parish. She was out on her own. Right, no, she wasn't, she wasn't in Chayrim. Okay, so that's the simple reading of the Pesukim. Again, the Mefarshim seem to take the approach that he was saying either if it's a person, I'll dedicate that person to Hashem. If it's an animal, I'll bring it as a carbon. It was a person, it was his daughter. He ends up sending her into the mountains to be alone, and that's when she would be dedicated to Hashem. She would never marry, and that was her fate. Now, okay, we're going to end up discussing most of this next week, so I'm just going to have to pick and choose for the last 8 minutes or so.
According to the literally sick, it has to be their opinion that he was acting in error, because if that was the vow he made, it would be invalid. You know what I mean? It's not a real vow. He carried out on it, and that was the complaint. He would have been having to go, maybe he thought he was doing the right thing, but certainly it has to be their opinion that he was not.
Right. Right. The question is going to be what things now take affecting anyway. Right. It's quite clear that he wasn't supposed to shaft her.
Right.
Maybe he was supposed to give money, like you said. I think that's a malchokas amorayim. That's going to be a dispute between, I think, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether he even owed any money or not. That's, I guess, where the discussion about Eirichin ties in. So maybe just in the last few minutes, what we'll do today, we'll save the medrash for next time, because we're going to have a lot to discuss on the actual medrash. Just tell you what the Ramban says about this. The Ramban in Parshas Bechukosai, so he's going on the pasuk right at the end of the Parsha, where it says, Kol cheirim asher yechara min ha'adam, I think it says, most yuma. The pasuk says, any cheirim that a person makes, most yuma, he will surely die. So what does that mean? So Rashi says what it means is that if a person is Chai of Misa, he's being taken out to be killed, to be executed, you can say, Erech HaAlah, you could donate his value to the Beit HaMikdash, and it doesn't help. It's not worth anything. Most Yumas, he's still going to die. You can't redeem someone who's on death's row by making, you know, redeeming his body and giving a donation to the Beit HaMikdash. That's Rashi's approach. The Ramban says that what it means is that he says anyone who dedicates from his own possession, whether it's a person, it's an animal, it's a field, so it works, it becomes hektish. And there's no... Okay, I don't even know how to understand being... He says, "Klamachrim mishalo." Anybody who gives a chayrim, meaning gives hektish from his own, whether it's a person, animal, or a field, he says it's hektish, and you cannot be poded. So this type of chayrim, I guess, is more than hektish. It makes it that you can't hektish. You normally redeem, and then you give the money. He's saying this you wouldn't redeem, but he says, but somebody who is machrim from a different person, for example, if you're going to battle against enemies and you say, you make a neder that if Hashem gives these people into our hands, I will be macharim their cities. So what that means is you'll destroy them, that you have to kill off the entire city. And because the intent there isn't that you'll donate this to the Kohanim, rather, that what you mean is that I won't take anything from it. It's all going to be forbidden to me. And you say, if we conquer this city, I will be machrim this city. So you don't mean I'll give it to the Beit HaMikdash. What you mean is I won't derive any benefit from it, and therefore you have to destroy the whole thing. And he says that's what this pasuk means, in that he's going on. And because like Kocherim Asher Yecharam, any chayrim that a person does from a person and says, okay, these people that we're going to conquer, they're going to be, they're going to be chayrim. So it means that if we conquer the city, we'll destroy them. Then you have to. That means you're going to destroy them, not that you're going to give them to the Beis HaMikdash. And then he brings from the story of the Pelegish Begiva. He proves from there, I'm not so familiar with the whole story at this point, but basically what happens over there is there's a group of people, 12,000 people, that are told to go and kill the people of Yavesh Gilad, and they go and do that, and it's actually Pinchas' command. Pinchas commands them to do that, so he says, why were these people Chayim Misa that they had to kill? Why did they kill all these people? And he says that it was from this pasuk, based on this pasuk. Another thing that we learn from this pasuk is that if a melech, again, this pasuk in B'chukosai, if a king of Israel or the Sanhedrin in front of all B'nai Yisrael, if they'll say, no, we're going to destroy this city, if you don't listen to them, you're Chayim Misa. Kol Chayim Asher Yecharam Nina Adam. Any chayrim from this pasuk they learned that if you don't listen to the chayrim that the melech gives, the melech says we have to destroy this city, or the Sanhedrin says it, and you don't listen, you say I'm sticking it out, I'm you know you're all about peace and you don't want to fight them, you're a pacifist, so you are chay of misa. That's what he says. So he says that. A similar misinterpretation occurred with Yiftach over here. He says that Yiftach made a mistake with his daughter. He thought that whenever he was a leader of B'nai Yisrael, he thought that whenever a leader makes a shvua, kol cheirem, any shvua that a leader makes, he thought, if you don't fulfill it, you're chayav misa. Really, it's only true in the middle of war, as the Ramban was describing. If you make a promise to destroy a city, and somebody refuses to participate, so that person's Chayav Misa. Yitzchak thought that it would apply even for him. If he made a neder that he would be macher in his daughter, bring his daughter, kill his daughter, or bring her as a carbon, or whatever exactly he meant. So, bring as a carbon he meant. So he thought that if he would take that back, if he would go back on it, then he would be chayav misa. He wasn't allowed to take it back. And that was his mistake. And he was incorrect. Really, it's not chal. It doesn't take effect at all. What? He said to Shemayim?
What type of misa would he be chayav?
Oh, yeah, I guess, I suppose. I'm not sure. Yeah.
So according to this, why didn't he take a chance instead of
I don't know if it was a chance. If he believed that he was chayav misa, he wasn't afraid that he would die. He wasn't afraid that he would die. He wasn't afraid of death. He was afraid of doing something that carries with like a chayav misa. It's something that's forbidding. It was a chayav misa. He didn't want to do it. So, but that was a mistake. He was incorrect. And he says, interestingly, the Ramban goes on. He says, don't believe all the havalim, all the nonsense of Rabbi Avraham, which I guess is the Ibn Ezra, who I guess it sounds like is a similar shot to what we've been saying up till now, who understands that the psukim, as we've been reading them, that it just meant that, or I'll bring her as an ola, but that if it would be a person, that I wouldn't bring it as a carbon, because he says, that's not, because you can't read the psukim that way. You don't put, the people who dedicated their children to Hashem didn't get put in seclusion in the mountains. They got, they had a job to do. Shmuel Hanavi was put in the Mishkan, to learn from Eli. What?
He had room and board with Eli.
Right, so I don't know what you would do with a daughter exactly. I think that's partially where they're coming from. But the Ramban says, don't listen to the Hevel, to the nonsense of the Ben Ezra, of that approach. And which is the approach of Mangan Farshim, and because that's not what happens when you dedicate someone to Hashem, and he says that it doesn't work this type of neder to make a neder that whoever will come out will be a parish, will be off in the mountains, just like you can't make a neder. Neither of them work. Just like you can't make a neder to bring a person as an ova, you can't make a neder that the next person who walks out my front door is going to be sent off the mountains. That just doesn't work. Rather, the nether was a mistake. He thought that it worked to bring her as he thought that either that it works to bring her as an ola or to sacrifice her in some way. But his mistake, the Ramban says, was from this pasuk that he understood that the pasuk kochem asher yecharam mina adam most yumas, any chayim that a person takes, if you don't follow it, you'll be killed, when really it only applies by a Sanhedrin going out to war in terms of participating in the battle. He thought that it would apply even for his daughter.